Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary. Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back to another episode of The Juice. I'm your host, Solomon Giorgio, comedian, writer, and the last person to see Casper before he became a ghost. Today's guest is a podcaster, baker, and gossipy tweet maker. You know him as the host of the hit podcast, Good Christian Fun, Inside Voices, and Gilmore Guys. Join me in giving a big, juicy welcome to Kevin T. Porter.
Wow, we did jump right in. You were not kidding. Goodness gracious.
I did the whole, like, the intros are going to be recorded. I'm saying nice things about you before you even get here.
That's so lovely. And this is sort of the opposite of the aesthetic of, I will say, West Coast podcasting circa 2011 to 2017, where people would say, are we rolling right now? Is this even recording right now? We're doing the opposite of that. Like, yes, we are recording. Let's do it.
I'm letting you know right now. I'm letting you know multiple times that we're recording. So that way when we are recording, we're recording.
And you're not committing a crime in the state of California.
Yeah, I don't think like starting a conversation with somebody means you can start recording them.
That's right. That's why you have to be very explicit and get enthusiastic consent before you do any podcast.
I'm all about positive consent in every format and shape, including in podcasting.
Yeah. I think most especially for me in podcasts, that's the most important form of consent. And then, deal with the other one.
And the rest of them. But I'm surprised we've never officially have met before. I think we've been circling each other for years.
We've run in the same circles. I think we became Twitter mutuals many years ago.
I know of your shows. You have a current one right now about podcasting even.
Well, there's Inside Voices where I've talked to other people who do podcasts. And then there's also Good Christian Fun. Yeah.
Flavor? Which branch of flavor of Christianity did you have to grow up in?
Protestant Christianity, a lot of non-denominational in the Texas area, in the Houston area of Texas. So non-denominational, for those that don't know, I mean, it's Protestant, it's adjacent to Baptist stuff, but it's a little slippery, so it's whatever you want it to be. And not in the Unitarian sense, but just in the sense of like basically evangelical, but they're not adherent to larger denominations like Methodist or, you know, Presbyterian, Lutheran, etc.
Okay, so it's not the most toxic one of them.
Not as far as I can tell. I don't know. I haven't done a power ranking of which is the most toxic denomination, but that would be worth doing at some point.
I can help in a little bit because I grew up Ethiopian Orthodox and we are one of the oldest Christian churches, and it is it's a little on the poisonous side too.
Okay. Why? Which part of it was the worst?
Well, it's very, you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to have this in your house. There's also paying a little bit of your money, a certain percentage.
Sure. A little tithe.
It's a very fun thing that my parents still are part of. So.
But what are the things that aren't allowed to be in your house?
It depends. It was very specific about American culture things. Like out of nowhere, they were like, hey, no Power Rangers.
Okay. So anything like resembling secular culture, the influence of the world.
But they only specifically chose certain things. And my parents, since their understanding of American culture was very like based on what they told them, like my parents didn't watch Power Rangers. They had no idea what the context was. They only knew that the church said no. So therefore, I had my Power Ranger toys taken away. Yet I was still watching pro wrestling with my dad every night.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a little pick and choose. It wasn't an all or nothing proposition or a consistent ethic as far as what you got to experience or not. Okay.
But since this is specifically about gossip, and I know the church and gossip are one in one.
You know.
And I also know your fair share of being like, I know you've been in your fair share of celebrity gossip, but I want to know what it was like.
I don't know what you mean, Solomon.
I don't know what I mean. I
think, celebrity God.
I think there's a few things that have happened in your past that I might be a little bit familiar with. I don't know, maybe just a slight takedown of one of the most powerful lesbians in morning television.
Yeah, she, listen, I mean, we can get to her later. But as far as how I grew up with gossip, you know, in Texas is fake South. Like, it's the South, but it's not. Texas is sort of its own thing. But there is still a lot of overlap with what people associate with the idea of Southern pleasantries and saying, bless her heart, and then saying the meanest thing you've ever heard in the same sentence, that sort of situation. And so that manifested a lot in church. And of course, in the church culture I grew up, the thing about it, and at least the particular flavor, like we were talking about, that I grew up in, everyone felt a sort of entitlement to each other's personal life because it was the whole relationship and community of the church was predicated on this idea of like doing life together and being very vulnerable. And part of vulnerability is I need to know every part of your sex life and every part of your personal life. And that is just, that is obviously a given. That's not you opening up to me. It's like, no, just tell me because I need to know. And that would manifest itself in like men's groups where everyone would cry because they looked at porn and jacked off. That would manifest itself in sort of prayers that kind of function as confessions to each other or kind of gossip tucked into a prayer where you're praying for someone else. And it's like, you kind of say what maybe it is that they're going through at the time.
I love that. That's my favorite of all time.
It's a pretty effective method. It's a good tactic, I would say.
Do you have any recollection of any of those? Because I've always...
Oh, any like gossip tucked into prayer. Honestly, it was like a men's group thing and we were praying for like one of the guys that maybe wasn't there, or like him and his girlfriend have been like stumbling or not been, you know, not been faithful to scripture, which means like they were probably fingering each other or something. Like there's a lot of that. A lot of that in the
fingering
group.
I think God lets that slide a little bit. You don't need to throw that in the prayer.
Yeah, God lets the finger slide. I mean, you put them all together. And they do make prayer hands. You just slide them all together. All five of those, you know, upstairs piggies is what I call them. We call toes piggies, but yeah.
Upstairs piggies?
These are upstairs piggies. So yeah, that was definitely a big part of it. And then also in addition to being involved in church when I was a kid, I was involved quite heavily in theater. That was a great breeding ground for who's fucking who and what and why, and she did this and blah, blah, blah. And you know, our theater director, Rod Sheffield, I will say first and last name. He's like a bodybuilder now. He's a very jacked guy. He would sometimes partake in it in a, you know, in a safe way, in a way that wasn't strange, but you know, yeah.
Oh, they're good. Hopefully, thank God. Yeah. How's it not sweet strange though?
Oh, it was just fun when he would be bitchy. I mean, at the time that I took, you know, that he was like directing our shows and our classes, I believe he was in the closet. I believe he's fully out now on his Instagram.
One thing that I truly believe that people really should get into about getting older is the comfort and freedom you live in now that you're no longer concerned about keeping up appearances.
Sure. Yeah. Because it's like, what's the most embarrassing thing that could happen to me? I'm out of here in 20 years or less.
Exactly. So, the planet's dying. Who cares?
That's the thing. I know. That's what's so frustrating about having climate denier parents. Yeah. It's like, they're not going to be able to see that they were wrong because they're just going to croak before it happens.
I'm not sure if my parents even believe that climate exists, let alone it's being destroyed.
Right. So, same. Is there a climate? What's a climate?
What does it even mean? Weather is weather. Like how is it being worse?
It's all constructs, man. Yeah.
Yeah, if you think about it, whether
it's just something the Lord constructed to test our faith, much like the dinosaur bones. We all know this is true.
Oh my God. So did you actually have those kind of people growing up at all? The ones that are just like, no, science isn't real?
Oh, you know, like there was a few outliers, but that really wasn't a part of what I remember is even my friend group and even being in the church, we'd already gotten to the point at least where science and faith could work in tandem and could coexist with each other. It was not fully, at odds with each other. Yeah. But maybe that's not true now. I don't know.
I think it's probably, I feel like a lot of people that are very vocal now were, is like something that I didn't recall growing up with, like it seemed like both things need to, both things kind of fit together. Like I met a few people that didn't believe in dinosaurs and that was about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, that was the most controversial thing.
It's like Earth started 6,000 years ago. I'm like, all right.
I know. Well, and what's funny too, if you ever meet like a hardcore young Earth creationist, sort of like fucking, there's no possibility for evolution, because even a lot of fundamentalist Christians are like, I don't know. Yeah, maybe evolution was part of God's design. Maybe the flood was a metaphor. You know, we'll be pretty flexible about that mm-hmm. stuff. But finding like a young Earth creationist hardcore, yeah. and then just asking any sort of like question based on fact, you will get a show. You will get a yeah. full on gymnastics display in terms of like, well, actually, God created the earth to be old, just like Adam and Eve were old. You know, like there will be yeah. a sort of point counterpoint to each little chess move yeah. you could possibly make rhetorically.
You went to school in Austin. Where'd you grow up?
Went to school in Austin. And then I grew up in Houston, which is, I guess I should say Kingwood, which is the suburbs a little bit north yeah. of Houston. So Houston proper was just like 20 minutes away by car. Born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which has a lot of weird Christian stuff going on there for really? Whatever reason, but moved to Texas when I was 5.
So did you ever like go on like any like retreats with the church or?
Oh yeah. We go to mission trips. We would go to Tucson, Arizona by bus and then walk into Mexico during the day, do a vacation Bible school for the children, then peace the fuck out by 4 o'clock and be like, all right, we're done. See ya. Yes, did a few of those. That was the first time I came out to LA was with a Christian drama troupe called Out There Ministries. When I was 12 years old, they were all 5 or 6 years older than me. And we did the same thing, although we stayed overnight in Mexico and hung out with the church a little bit more. We didn't like paint houses or do any of those like sort of empty gestures that yeah. make for good reels. But we did do that. We would cross over. And that was doing something, I guess. I don't know.
Is there any, like, what was the biggest scandal you recall from any of this time?
A scandal that I can recall was one time I made, because I would be, you know, even at that time, I would take a camcorder, which was like a digital lake camcorder, because this is like 2003, 2004. And I would shoot a bunch of video and then edit it together on a big laptop computer using Premiere Pro back in the day. So this is like 2003, 2004, and to render something took for fucking ever. And I remember I did one version of the video for the church, and then I did another version where it was like, you know, mission trip uncut. It was just like me cutting together things to amuse myself. I remember one night I showed the men's group in high school, and then one of the associate pastors took the DVD from me. He's like, I'm going to need to look at this. He didn't see what was on it. He took it from me, and then I got in trouble with the big youth pastor, like the higher up, and like got disciplined, and he had me in his office and scolded me, and it was very scary at the time, you know, because yeah. I was like, what, 12 or 13 years old, and these adults were saying, you fucked up so bad, and, you know, like the Christian version of that.
Yeah.
So I do remember that part, just because there were a few little body jokes in the, you know, it was a group of 8 young boys who yeah. were watching. It wasn't like we projected it for the elders or the shareholders of the church or whatever.
It's true. But the fear of internal damnation is, it's a very strong pill.
Yeah, well, I think anytime there's something that happens within the walls or under the roof of a church and it's not fully vetted by whoever the higher ups are, they're like, well, this is, you know, a sort of passive condoning of whatever mm-hmm. this is. So this cannot stand. We need to make some sort of statement or example.
Do you guys have anybody speaking tongues at all? Or is that?
You know, I went to this one church, primarily Woodridge, and it was like technically a Baptist church.
Yeah.
And then I would go to an Assembly of God church called Lindale. And
you went to two churches?
Yeah, you know, I got around back then. It was a different time. I was 12 years old, had no car, just taking ride to ride. I was loving it. And Lindale Assembly of God is more of what you're describing, which is a charismatic yeah. church. So charismatic means the sort of thing that maybe your listeners would understand as like Benny Hinn, speaking in tongues, spiritual gifts,
yes.
people getting pushed down, you know, hands laid on them, then getting pushed down and being quote unquote slain in the spirit. Yeah. And a more explicit passionate, but also kind of spooky yes. example of faith.
We went to an evangelical church called Truth Tabernacle in Fresno, California for a good chunk of time. And we had people speaking in tongues there. And when you first go to a church like that, you have a little faith in it. But then one day, this girl that I went to school with named Dora, who was truly a monster in school, But one day at Sunday school, they were like, well, one of your fellow Sunday school classmates has been given the gift of tongues. And it was Dora. I'm like, she literally is the meanest girl in my school. There's no way possible. And then you're like, when you see the facade just fall apart in front of you, and then you're like, oh, now you're just going to do the thing that you're going to do. Well, now that I realize it's not real.
Yeah. Oh, man. That is so confusing, too, because when you're a kid, I remember having little moments where I'm like, you know, like, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. And yes, for children, it must be like literally rapturous to get caught in that moment. I mean, it's not, you said she was a monster in school. I would love if her gift of speaking in tongues was that she opened her mouth and it was a forked tongue and it was disgusting looking. Instead of like, she was just like, just like started attacking people.
That would have been great. I would have enjoyed that. I would have for sure signed up for that.
Been consistent with your worldview.
The issue is that there's not enough demon associations that we're dealing with. So it's really hard to believe in the one side when there's no representation on the other side.
Yeah, and this is what we need to talk about in the church, is representation really does matter. And, you know, achieving equity between angels and demons that's an issue that, you know, we can't just leave it to the marginalized. We have to be a voice for the marginalized, in which case this is fallen angels, this is Lucifer, this is demons and devils.
Yes.
And we need to speak up for them.
So I'm assuming that, are you still like participating in any kind of church at all, or?
When I go, not to date this recording too much, but to Easter recently, I went to an Easter service at a local church here in Pasadena. When I go, it's to a church that's like explicitly progressive.
Yeah.
And so much of the messaging and ideology coming out of the church is an intersection with like faith practices or the Christ story with social justice issues. So things like having a queer Black female pastor, a woman pastor, which, you know, one of those would be bad to a lot of people. Two or three all together is like, you know.
It is usually the several levels of sinning.
Yeah, according to a lot of people who like to write their own fanfic of the Bible. Yeah. So yes, when I participate, I will participate in something like that, something that doesn't make me feel disgusting for having gone. And it's funny too, with that particular church, where it's like to feel almost like in the minority of like, and I've talked to the others, but I think I'm one of like 12 straight men that goes there. So it's like, hey, this is pretty, you know, it's a lot of either like, or I should say straight single men. It's a lot of like families or, you know, like straight families, queer families, and then just like queer singles as well. So it remains a hotspot for dating if you're into that sort of thing.
I've reached the age where I'm done and I'm retired from
from dating.
Yeah, it's a lot, and I'm good.
How do you retire from dating?
I'm 40 years old. You can just do that.
Okay.
I've decided that I want to sleep in the middle of the bed for the rest of my life. And
you can just hang the jersey up on the top of the arena.
You didn't know that?
Man, I didn't know that was an option. You're changing my lifestyle.
Oh yeah. I'm really like, I go to the bed with food too often to have somebody else be in the same room as me. So.
Sure. And it sounds like you never get lonely. There's never a pang in your heart. You never desire companionship.
I'm not lonely because I have the company of people that tell me wonderful stories, and I get to hang out. Like I'm never alone. I'm only alone in bed. And I think
you're saying you're not alone because you have a podcast?
No, I'm saying I'm not alone because I have a network of friends, and I also get to do stuff like this.
Gotcha.
This would be very sad if I was like, this is my only.
Yeah, because I was like, if the podcast is your lover, might need to talk a little bit more.
No, I'm saying I have family, friends, and many other relationships to fulfill the needs of a companionship.
I'm very down with that. I always think about that bell hooks quote where she talks about what if, instead of romantic relationships being the center of our culture, was more something like friendships. and like how just like unfucked a lot of people's like worldview or view of themselves or their esteem would be if that were the case, and how much more functional everyone would be in people's friendships and whatnot.
Like those are actual relationships too. They affect, when you break up with a friend, it affects you just as bad as a breakup with a partner. So it's like, clearly you love these people. So they should qualify as that serious of a relationship.
I've never had a romantic relationship end or break up in a way that was more painful than the worst friendship breakups of my life.
Since I've did most of the breaking up in my life, I agree with you. So I'm the one. Friends had to break up with me. Relationships, I did that myself many times over.
Yeah.
Like it was broken
have the
up.
Upper hand.
Like, cause usually it's like I get ghosted and that means nothing to me. People are usually very upset by that. I find it refreshing. Don't bother me.
Yeah. Okay. So big believer in ghost protocol. I try not to do it to anyone, but if someone does it to me, I get it.
Yeah. It depends. Like I do the slow fade away. I don't fully ghost. Like I'm not like knocking, but I'm like, the message is slow down.
Fade away. The gentleman's ghost. Yes. We all understand that.
I think it's the best way to go where you're like, this probably hurts your feelings the least, but you have a very good idea of what I'm doing.
Well, and there's something too, to like a mutual understanding of no one's left hanging. If there's a sense of like, I didn't ask you a question, you didn't ask me a question, or like, I'd love to see you again. If it's just, we just literally stop talking. It's a very nice way to let people off the hook.
So like, did you have to leave the church at all back then? Or was that a
I kind of grew up with it. You know, I was fairly consistent, like elementary, middle, high school, fell off in college, then kind of got back into it. And then kind of, you know, was really involved actually for the most in like my early 20s, which was like a really interesting time because I was living out here in LA at that time because I've been out here for 13 years. But that was probably my most church heavy time of my life because it felt like every relationship and every part of my life touched it in some fashion and in some capacity. And now that's not the case and that feels better. I think.
Same, at ease.
Well, just anytime all of your significant friendships and relationships come from one spot, you're doing a disservice to yourself. You do need to ameliorate your need and just to like experience a lot of different kinds of people too.
Yes. Like I definitely believe that you should have more people that disagree with you in some senses, not in like polarizing ways, but
yeah, not in like gay people shouldn't exist sense, or, you know.
like you should definitely agree with the civil rights aspect of the world, but there are people that there are variations of human beings that you should have constant contact with. And I think that's happens with time.
Yeah. Do you have any friends that are unvaccinated, speaking of people that you could disagree with in a relationship?
No.
Okay.
I knew of two that I scolded into getting vaccinated.
Yeah.
It's one thing for it to be your own health, but it's also the health of other people that you're not taking into consideration. And that's like, that's a concern of mine. And like, and the two people that I'm talking about, they were Black. So I understand their apprehension towards science and medical stuff in America. But if you're white and vaccinated, I can't be friends with you.
What's your excuse? Oh, man, I know. I get it.
Okay, Kevin, it's time to read some of the juicy submissions we got from our listeners. It's mailbag time. A local church hired a 40-ish pastor who likes to wear jeans on Sunday nights, and the senior citizens are not happy.
Oh, God. What a gentle scandal. A very gentle scandal.
Jeans on a... Wait, was it Saturday?
I think it was Sunday night.
Sunday nights. Yeah. So he's wearing the clothing during the day.
I mean, yeah. People want to live in a world. It might have to do with the sense of... I'd be curious to what the denomination is.
Yeah.
And where geographically this is, because that'll inform a lot of it.
Well, I love that the local church hired a 40-ish pastor. So to them, that's young.
Right. So I think we're getting a good sense of at least like, demographically.
Yes.
Where the church is at. Okay.
Yeah. Mr. Cool Jeans over here coming in with his unruly young vibes.
Mr. Cool Jeans. Pastor Cool Jeans. Father
Pastor Cool Jeans. Father Cool Jeans. So this one is it's the second piece of mail here. So a few years ago, we had an Easter party the day before Easter and invited a bunch of my son's preschool friends. I had a baby in January and was still breastfeeding, but decided to have a mimosa anyway. One of the moms called me out saying I shouldn't be drinking, which I responded to with the fact that my OBGYN had given me a full prescription of Percocet to help recover postpartum. And if that was fine to take, I don't think a little champagne would do any harm. She was dumbfounded and judgmental. I said I hadn't even touched the bottle since I don't like taking painkillers. So cut to the next day, Easter Sunday, the same lady texts me that she slipped in the shower and threw her back out and asked if she could have a few pills since it was Easter and she couldn't go see her doctor. I said, sure. The next thing I knew, she shows up at my front door, totally high and slurring her speech. She takes the pills and says not to tell her husband because he would worry that she's been working out too much. Turns out she was a major pill popper and I was the last to know.
Oh no. So she, wow. There's a lot.
Yes. What a
man. There's like the supporting characters. There's a protagonist and antagonist. There's twists, there's turns, there's an arc. There's a humbling in this story and this little piece of gossip. This truly is the juice.
The chance to be self-righteous towards somebody who was doing it to you is the perfect revenge.
yeah. It's beautiful to see the symmetry of that. Also, if I was the woman who shamed the other woman for having a mimosa while breastfeeding, I would simply not do that. And I would indulge with one of the greatest joys that you can have after going to a party. And I assume this woman was not alone, that she was probably, with her husband or someone, a friend, and talk about it on the way home and be really catty and mean behind the person's back, not in front of them. That's mean.
Yeah, but I feel like there's some people who like to do that in public so they can see what I'm doing. It's like almost like to throw the scent off of them.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't get it.
That's like the way, like, to judge somebody, especially like mothers, people love to walk up to moms, especially new moms, and just be like, this is what you should be doing instead of what you're doing. Cause there's some, like, if you're not breastfeeding, so many people get upset by that.
I mean, this is, of course, not to make it too biblically themed, but this is the parable Christ tells us about the speck in your eye versus the plank. And this woman's mimosa was surely a speck. And this other woman's pill addiction is a bit of a plank. Unfortunate.
I love both of these women now.
Yeah, I do want them to eventually reconcile and have all the pills and booze they want.
Yeah,
is the end of this story.
I want them to forever live near each other and always have some sort of discord. This is sort of a very desperate housewife situation, and I live for that kind of moment.
And maybe this is like, you know, how like people have toxic relationships and romantic relationships where they enact the same dynamics over and over again. They break up, they get back together. Maybe this is these ladies' story too.
I agree.
Wouldn't it be nice?
That's the mailbag. Thank you so much, everyone out there, for sending in your mail. I love it. If you want to hear your story on the show, visit teamcoco.com/heyjuice. It's now time for a short break, and we'll be right back with the Juice Line.
Welcome back to Money Mania, where we're talking tax season and what to do with that refund. If you really want your tax refund to have a positive impact, I'm bullish on Ohio's 529 plan. I always say, invest in something you love. Well, there's nothing we love more than our kids. So invest in their future and let your tax refund help. For as little as $25, you can get started today at collegeadvantage.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to The Juice. I'm here with the hilarious Kevin T. Porter. All right, Kevin, now's the time in our show when we get to the phone. We call it The Juice Line. I'm hearing from our board operator that today's caller is Maddie. Let's patch her in.
Please hold. Thank you.
Hi, Maddie.
Hello.
Hello. We want the tea.
I feel like I need to give you guys a little bit of background just for it to make sense. So,
please.
I was working at a pharmaceutical manufacturing plant, so you have to sign everything or it didn't happen and the FDA gets really angry, and et cetera, et cetera. So pens are a valuable commodity, and you are only allowed to use blue or black pens for, I don't know, I've never really understood that rule, but that is a very strict rule. So as a prank, when we were bored in manufacturing one time, we switched out like the ink type in one of the manufacturing official pens from black to red, and gave it to a supervisor that we didn't love that much.
Ooh.
Okay.
I already love where this is going.
And I will never say who did it. It was a collective.
It was a union of yes. sorts.
But the supervisor used the red pen on an official document, like, oh no, which we thought he would just like, oh no, this is the wrong pen, cross it out, initial and date, and be fine. Instead, he opened up a deviation investigation, like, had to recall all of the pens off of like the manufacturing floor that night. Like, instead of us actually making drugs, we were collecting pens off of like everyone's desks. a great use of time.
He launches like an 8-part true crime investigative podcast.
They eventually like called the people who made the pens, like that company. A major customer complaint, and like, because I mean, at some point they were like, "You guys have to tell us the truth, or you're getting fired." And we're like, "All right, well, no one knows anything. That's weird. What a strange pen."
So your manager spoke to the manager.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, they say hurting people hurt people, and it's true that managers speak to the managers.
Somebody's got
to the managers.
Yeah, but I think it ended up costing, because like every like deviation investigation is estimated to cost like at least $10,000 worth of like company time. So, whoops.
That's funny.
Wow.
And isn't that a beautiful thing? Because if someone had brought a sword into the manufacturing place, someone would have just said, "Hey, take that sword out of here." No investigation, no follow-ups. So in this case, the pin actually is mightier than the sword. Which is beautiful to think about. For all you riders out there, take note. With a pin of your choice, it could be a purple ballpoint for all we care.
Thank you for... So... nothing was found out.
No, yeah. I mean, I left the company years ago, but as far as I'm aware, they still have no idea what caused Pengazi, as we nicknamed it.
Oh, that's gorgeous. That's so gorgeous. What a wonderful name. Thank you, Maddie. Pengazi.
I'm so happy you told me about this.
Wow, and there are parallels, you know, a lot of wasted time, a lot of, you know, much ado about nothing, essentially.
I love this, though.
And a lot of lost lives as well.
So where is this? Is the supervisor still with the company since you left, or?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, God, he's probably out there terrorizing other people, isn't he?
Probably, yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping that he just moved on and didn't find, like, a managerial role, because he wasn't a bad person, per se. He just was a terrible supervisor.
Was he very old? Like, what do you estimate his age to be, if you had to guess?
Well, he was one of those, like, general middle-aged white men. So anywhere between, like, 40 to 60? Somewhere in there.
I will say, that's a pretty broad range, but I appreciate
it. How terrible did he look that is where you could pinpoint?
Between 40 and 60 is a massive breadth of time.
It is really, that he is looking some sort of weird if you can't even just like bring it down to like a decade.
Wow. Wowie, wow. I mean, and that's the thing. And that's another lesson for all of our listeners today is like, there's different ways to age. Everyone's doing different procedures to mitigate aging, but there's also things you do in your own life to exacerbate it and accelerate aging, including making hay out of Pengazi and Pengate.
Let go of pen color. It's really, honestly, it's a very weird form of racism, black and red.
Yeah, don't you wish we could have, I mean,
you just grab a pen.
I have a dream that one day people would be judged not for the content of their pen ink, but with what they write with it. Honestly. Honestly, it's very sad.
Honestly, I think that is, we should, as a nation, I'm very glad that we're finally being able to confront this. And Maddie, you and that group of people that you don't know anything about, that you're not involved with whatsoever, you did the Lord's work.
Amen. Amen to that.
Thank you so much for that wonderful story. I enjoyed it so much.
Have a lovely day and use whatever color you want. When
whatever
you write
freaking color you want.
Your notes and your checks and whatnot.
That is kind of, that's the level of petty that I'm a big fan of.
And I'd like to think we made a difference in that young woman.
Honestly, she changed my life. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to go change the pen ink on all my friends' pens.
Gosh, I know. And I will say, though, that there are certain like favorite kinds of pens that I use all the time. And if a different color ink came out of it, it would break my brain in a way that, like, you know, we want to act like we're above this 40 to 60 year old man, but maybe I too would spiral out of my mind if something similar happened to
truthfully,
me.
Truthfully, haven't grabbed the pen to write anything down in years. Wow. I've pretended to pick up a pen and write something down. Like when they tell you, like on the phone, like write this number down. Never do it. Just pretend I do every time.
Wow. Amazing.
All right, Kevin, you've been such a wonderful guest. I really appreciate you coming in here today.
Oh, wow. Thanks for having me on The Juice.
Thank you for being here. Oh.
But I'll bake something for you anytime.
Oh, now, Kevin, you're being too
Cakes,
kind.
Cakes, cookies, pies, brownie bars, blondies, whatever you're into. And I've been starting to like churn cream, too. Homemade ice cream. It's changed my life.
Okay. That's Kevin T. Porter, everyone. Be sure to check out his podcast, Good Christian Fun, Inside Voices, and Gilmore Guys. They're all amazing. And as always, if you want to tell your story on The Juice, send them in by visiting teamcoco.com/heyjuice. If you love this episode, please leave us a great rating and review on Apple Podcasts. I promise, I read them all. The Juice is produced by Nick Liao, Jen Samples, and Lisa Berm. Executive producers are Jeff Ross, Adam Sachs, and Joanna Solitaroff. Music by Eduardo Perez and mixing by Joe Tisdall. Booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Maddie Ogden. Thanks for listening, and as always, have a juicy day.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.